All right. Good morning. Why don't we go ahead and get started? Thank you again for joining J.P. Morgan's 16th Annual Consumer Electronics Show Technology Forum. Again, my name is Harlan Sur, semiconductor and semiconductor capital equipment analyst here for the firm. Very pleased to have the team from Applied Materials. They're the number one supplier of semiconductor capital equipment and a leader in the flat panel manufacturing technology as well. And these are all of the key enabling technologies to virtually all of the innovations that you will all see here at CES this week. At the heart of every electronic system is a whole bunch of silicon, very complex silicon content, and the team from Applied is a huge enabler of all of that. We've got Gary Dickerson, President and Chief Executive Officer, Dan Durn, Chief Financial Officer, here with us. I've asked Gary to kind of kick us off with a few opening remarks, and then we'll go ahead and kick off the Q&A. So Gary and Dan, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you. This is really a great time for Applied Materials. You know, we're all here at CES this year, and if you look at Applied's position in overall electronics, from 2013 to 2017, our percentage has doubled of electronics from about 0.5% to 1%. And if you look at what's driving that, capital intensity is increasing in semiconductor and in display. The capital intensity in foundry and logic increased by about 3x from 28-nanometer technology to 7-nanometer technology. It's increased in the memory technologies. And in display, the capital intensity has also increased as our customers moved from the amorphous silicon LCD panels to LTPS to organic LED. Each time, there's been a doubling of capital intensity. So, and as was said in the opening remarks here, Applied is really the foundation for many key technical innovations. Materials innovation is key for memory technologies, and especially as our customers have moved to new NAND technologies that are really completely driven by materials innovation. And if you look at high-performance computing chips, AI chips, I'll talk more about that later, but you know, huge transformation of major industries based on artificial intelligence and big data, and the materials that create the power and performance come from Applied Materials. So our position in those markets is also very, very, very strong. So we've had a doubling of our footprint in overall electronics from 13 to 17, and really, the future is even better going forward for Applied Materials. If you look at our markets have never been stronger. We went from kind of PC enterprise, everybody waiting for operating system upgrades, to mobile social media, which was pervasive, and you had an annual war for mobility leadership with billions of users every Christmas, and Chinese New Year. And now you're going to another era of AI and big data, again, creating trillions of dollars of economic value in transportation, healthcare, entertainment, many, many different markets. And, the tailwinds for Applied are really tremendous, in all of our markets. You see data generation increasing. At CES, as you go around the show, you see smart everything. Everything is becoming smarter. You see more sensor technologies, IoT technologies. So what's happened in the last few years, 40% of foundry volume is now driven by trailing technologies, and that's gonna continue to increase. Then you have an explosion of data, and memory demand is going up. We showed a chart back in September at our investor meeting, where memory shipments are tracking the data generation, and so that also is increasing. There's a crossover with solid-state drives also, where you have much lower power, much less heat. So that is also creating more demand for memory technologies. And then you generate data, you store the data, To unlock the value, you have to process the data. People talk about data being similar to oil in the Industrial Revolution, but oil sitting in a barrel is not worth much. So it's critical to process the data to enable the trillions of dollars of economic value that you can unlock. And I deeply believe our world is going to change in bigger and faster ways than any of us can anticipate. And if you look at all of that, at the foundation is applied materials. We have the best exposure to multi-year waves, where we have great exposure to the display wave that's happening. We have great balance from a device standpoint. Our share is high in foundry, logic, DRAM, NAND. So Applied is very unique in the breadth that we have in our markets. We're also very unique in the technologies that we have within the company. And that's why our market share continues to grow. Materials innovation is the foundation of big inflections. High-performance computing is a great example, the AI chips. And again, the war for AI leadership is the biggest battle of our lifetime. If you look at the chip that NVIDIA released, and I know you had NVIDIA here earlier today, that chip is 10 times bigger than the average application processor. 21 billion transistors, 100 billion vias, and wait till you see what comes next. It's very complex, it's much bigger, but again, it's unlocking tremendous value. The materials that go into those chips that enable power and performance come from Applied Materials. So we're in a great position. Our markets have never been stronger, and our position in our markets have never been better. Materials innovation is creating big and enabling big inflections going forward. And I deeply believe the pace of innovation is going to accelerate. For me personally, as a technologist, I love what I do. And I've never been more positive about the future for Applied Materials.
That's a great introduction. And you're right, you just followed. We've had NVIDIA here to kick off the conference, and we just had the Micron team. So in terms of complexity, number of transistors, number of memory bits per chip, I mean, these two companies are driving the highest densities in the industry. And you mentioned NVIDIA, you know, their Volta chip, which is their flagship AI deep learning processor, 12 billion transistors on a single piece of silicon. They actually just introduced a new fully autonomous driving SoC on a single piece of silicon. This one has 9 billion transistors, 12 nanometer FinFET, 350 millimeter square chip size. And then we had Micron. Micron is, their flagship product is their 512 gigabit 64 layer of NAND. You're talking about 500 million memory cells on a single piece of silicon. And so with all of this complexity, there are areas in this that you are enabling that, you know, are very critical to the success of this. And so can you just help us understand, you know, what are the critical processes that you're enabling to help NVIDIA put down 12 billion transistors on a single piece of silicon, or help Micron put down 500 million memory cells on a single piece of silicon?
Yeah, so whether you're talking about the edge or the cloud, power and performance is crucial. And also, what you can pack in a single chip in terms of performance is more effective than distributing that through multiple chips. So there's tremendous, again, if you believe that transportation, entertainment, retail, advertising, healthcare, all of these things are going to change, you know, the value of that technology disrupting major industries is going to be the biggest fundamental change all of us have seen in our lifetimes. And there are different technologies when you're building a chip. You can remove materials, and we've had extremely high growth in innovative technologies in removing materials. You can modify materials, but creating materials with products like EPI, PVD, implant, anneal, CMP, we have 70% share, in some of those cases almost 100% share. And when you look at power and you look at performance, leakage, Applied is completely unique in many of those key process steps. And really the strength of Applied is the breadth of our portfolio. We're balanced across all different devices, and we are the leader in creating materials, modifying materials, removing materials, and analyzing materials, and connecting all of that together to enable our customers to bring new technology to market faster is worth a lot of money. So I ask a question. So I'd like everybody to think about this. What is it worth to have the winning AI chip 12 months faster than your competitor? What's it worth? It's worth a lot of money. So again, the ability for us to work with our customers in creating, and I believe we will enable materials that aren't possible today, structures that aren't possible today. I'm so bullish about the pace of innovation. And then you go to memory technologies. NAND technology today is crossing over more and more of the market with solid state technology. And, you know, NAND went through also a fundamental technology inflection, going from 2D scaling, shrinking the single-story ranch houses closer and closer together, to skyscrapers. And I say, again, the sky is the limit. The feature sizes are larger. It's all about materials, innovation. And I'm very confident also that this scaling is going to continue in the future. And Applied is at the foundation of all of that. The same thing is true in our display business. Materials innovation in the war for AI leadership on the architectures, that war is not over. But whoever wins in that war, at the foundation is Applied. We will win no matter who wins that architecture war.
So you bring up a good point, which is not only your leadership on the silicon side and enabling a lot of your customers like an NVIDIA and a Micron to drive the kind of complexity levels that they require, but we're at CES. Visual experience is also another focus area, right? And, a few years ago, it was large screen TVs, and those continue to scale. I mean, we're hitting 70-inch and above flat panel TVs, and this year we saw the big move by one of the big smartphone customers to OLED small screens. So visual experience continues to be at the forefront of consumer importance. And obviously, Applied is a leader in flat panel display. And so maybe you can help us understand, where has the team been focused on in the area of display that has helped to drive adoption of large format LCD and OLED displays for smartphones?
Sure. And if you look at our major businesses, what we've said for 2018 is that we will see strong double-digit growth on all of our segments, all of our businesses. Mm-hmm. So our leadership semiconductor business, where we have all of those businesses, where we have 70% share, strong double-digit growth. Our high-growth semiconductor businesses, strong double-digit growth. In display, we've said at least 30% growth in revenue in 2018, and our service business is growing at a 15% compound annual growth rate. So 2018, great record year again for Applied Materials is what we're anticipating. In the display business, what's driving that business today, again, if you look at the technology innovations that have happened, as you said, you go to mobility, social media, it's pervasive. I mean, everybody has a data center in their pocket, and that visual image is a big differentiator in that war that happens every holiday season. So what's driving our business now, and we have very good line of sight over the next few years, are really two things. One is organic LED displays, and we're still in the early innings of adoption of organic LED displays for smartphones. That's driving a significant part of our business over the next few years, and what we're anticipating with the factories that are being built out right now for organic LED, that you'll have around 50% penetration around 2020. So there's still a lot of opportunity in that market. And that's also another thing that's happening is the head and chin are going away. You see wraparound displays. Display is a surface area business. So that forecast doesn't include some of that other surface area that will be happening going forward. And then, as you mentioned, also large screen televisions. So one example is on a 65-inch TV, if you have a Gen 8.5 factory, you can produce three of them. If you have a Gen 10.5 factory, you can produce eight 65-inch televisions. So it's compelling value for people to build out these factories. And it's there's very long lead times for building out that technology. So those are the two major drivers right now, organic LED for mobile devices, and then also the large screen TVs, Gen 10.5. There are 13 of those factories that are going to be built out for Gen 10.5. That gives us great visibility over the next several years in our display business. And then, as you said, when you look at AR, VR, you look at, again, increasing the surface area with these bendable displays, you know, the natural 3D. There's so many innovations in the display market. So when you look past this 2020, 2021 time frame, there's still a lot of opportunity for innovation. And the thing that's also important to remember is that, again, every time they went to a different technology, amorphous to LTPS, LTPS to OLED, doubled capital intensity. And materials innovation is, again, at the heart of the display technologies in the same way it's at the heart of the AI chips, high-performance computing, and also the skyscraper memory chips. I don't know, Dave, did you want to add anything?
No, I think that's good.
Okay.
You know, if I think about the... You talked about double digits growth in all of your businesses looking into next year. If we think about the industry backdrop that supports that, right? You guys talked about a wafer equipment spending environment, WFE spending environment, 2017/2018 combined, $90 billion plus with a growth outlook for 2018. And my question there is, you know, since the November earnings call, has the confidence gotten stronger about 2018 being a growth year? And help us understand the breadth of that growth. You know, you've got memory, DRAM and NAND, you've got foundry and logic. Are we going to see broad participation and growth from all of those segments this year?
Yes, so as we look at the macro market, 2017 was a fantastic year. Strength across the board, all device types, and what we see in November and December, the just really strong demand environment, gives us incremental confidence going into 2018. We really like what we see. As we decompose the market, in 2017, roughly half the market was logic foundry, half was memory. Maybe a little more memory, a little less logic foundry, but roughly split. We see the same split going into 2018. When we take a look at the logic foundry market, we see about two-thirds of it being foundry and one-third being logic. If we take the other half of the industry memory, we think about two-thirds NAND, one-third DRAM. So we're seeing strength across all device types into 2018, and we do see 2018 being stronger, incrementally stronger than 2017. So given where we sit, the macro indicators, the conversations we're having with customers, we're incredibly encouraged by what we see going into 2018. And as Gary said, we've got double-digit growth across all segments of the business, our leadership semi-business, our high-growth semi-business. We've got mid-teens growth in services. We've got 30% in display. So we feel really good and encouraged about what we see.
You know, the investor base is I think, a little bit concerned, has been a little bit concerned about the memory markets. And I would argue that along with the semiconductor industry over the last 7 to 8 years, that the industry has matured. Unit growth rates have slowed. Die sizes are getting bigger, but unit growth rates have slowed. And most of the participants have been focused on profitability. But there continues to be a little bit of concern on the memory market and people remembering back to the boom bust cycles and market share grabs. You guys are closest to the memory customers. What's your sense on their commitment to disciplinedly add, you know, capacity and maintain a focus on profitability? as you talk with these customers?
Yeah, so if we break out the memory market and look at it, decompose it, double click, you look at the DRAM market, you look at the NAND market, and an umbrella general comment that I think encompasses both, we see both markets being demand driven. We see very rational participants in the market bringing capacity and bit growth online that's commensurate with what we see from a demand perspective. In DRAM, going back to 2012, you had 1.1 million wafer starts per month. In 2017, you had 1.1 million wafer starts per month. In 2018, we expect it to be 1.1 million wafer starts per month. So you're seeing the market reflect that comment of being demand-driven. The wafer starts per month in the DRAM market have been flat for the last handful of years, and we expect them to be flat again next year. If we look at the NAND market, again, demand-driven environment. The capacity adds have been commensurate with end market demand. You see about 1.6 million wafer starts per month exiting 2017. About 50% of that is 3D. In 2018, we expect very modest capacity increases, something less than 50,000 wafer starts per month. But the conversions to 3D NAND are going to be substantial, and we think you'll end 2018 with two-thirds of the 1.6 million wafer starts per month being 3D NAND. And then if I take a look back at, take a step back and look at customer profitability in memory, we go back to 2013. Yep. The capacity, what they put in wafer fab equipment was 50% of their collective EBITDA, the top three participants. So 50% of EBITDA went to WFE. In 2018, that 50% is now going to be 30%. So they're investing a lot of money commensurate with end market demand, but they're making a lot of money, and cash flow is incredibly healthy at these companies, making their investments rational and quite attractive. So we're encouraged, whether it's supply-demand based, whether it's capital intensity across the memory industry, or it's the health of the customers, we're incredibly encouraged by what we see as a rational, demand-driven environment.
Yeah, I think we look at a slightly different metric, but came to the same conclusion, because the market oftentimes tends to just focus on CapEx, and CapEx can be big numbers. But at the same time, memory customers are driving record profitability and record revenues. And so when you overlay the two or normalize the two, what you find is that, you know, capital intensity for the memory guys is tracking below the, you know, 7-8 year kind of historical norm. Thank you for that response. China, you've discussed investments from China-based manufacturers increasing by $2 billion in 2018. Of this incremental spending, how much is from foundry customers versus the domestic memory companies, and how should, you know, investors think about spending growth? How do you think about spending growth for your China customers beyond 2018?
Yeah, so our position in China is very, very strong. Our share in our semiconductor business is higher than our worldwide average. Our position in display is also extremely strong. This last year, I think we talked about between 2.5 and 3 billion in total revenue in China. We also sell the manufacturing software, the manufacturing execution systems for many of the new factories in China. So we have leading indicators. We look at all of those leading indicators and then come up with a most likely and an upside forecast. And there, as you can imagine, with a lot of the noise out there, there's a pretty big difference between the those different forecasts when we look at the leading indicators. But again, our position there is extremely strong, and we believe that position will continue and potentially get even stronger going forward. And the forecast on the additional $2 billion came from this analysis that we do on an ongoing basis. What's driving the investment in China are really two things. If you look at the 2030 IC strategy for China, they talk about data security and the importance of building out that kind of domestic capability. So that's one strategic driver. Another one, I think most people know, there's a big gap between supply and demand. And so that's another kind of a strategic initiative that is being driven is to try to close that gap, but the national security one may be even a bigger driver. So what we're seeing, again, in 18 is about $2 billion incremental investment, more from multinational versus domestic. The people that are there on the domestic side, there are many very experienced chip executives, and they understand how long it takes. I mean, if you look at 3D NAND today, it's hard technology. And you have companies that have been in the market for many, many, many years with a lot of IP, a lot of talent, a lot of technology. You know, it's not a slam dunk, and it's not fast to be competitive in those markets. So what we see is incremental investment, you know, and I think that there is a strategic imperative. But again, the people that are there are rational, yep, experienced. They understand the dynamics. They're going to build the pilot lines. Those pilot lines they'll continue to invest in developing technology. But I think it's going to happen over a number of years. I mean, I don't anticipate a big hockey stick. I think that this incremental investment will be additive, but I don't see over the next, you know, 2-3 years, you know, a huge inflection in total investment in China.
Yeah, just one thing to add. Of the spend we saw in 2017, we saw it multinational led.
Yep.
Yeah.
Less domestic. And same in 2018, and that growth is going to be more multinational. So our expectations around the domestic spend are still quite pragmatic.
Let's talk about the supply-demand cycle in flat panel display. You know, I think many investors will tell you that their view on the flat panel market is much like how the memory market was, let's say, 5-10 years ago. A lot of competitors chasing after big growth opportunities. You know, you guys have talked about 13-gen 10.5 LCD factories, 23 OLED factories over the next few years. And I think the view out there is that flat panel is the one industry where it tends to be maybe more boom-bust cycle. And so as these, especially the OLED guys in China, come up the yield learning curve and at some point yields get good, do we end up with a big oversupply and a lot of glut in OLED screens? And what gives the Applied team confidence that the display market, you know, over the next 2-3 years is going to remain disciplined and is going to continue to drive a good growth profile for you?
So I think, again, you have this annual war for leadership, yep, and mobility, and the display is a tremendous differentiator. So when we model all of that capacity, we still come up in 2020 to about 50% for smartphones. So, and again, when all of us or our families, when you have those smartphones, those displays, the pictures, the images, the history that you're capturing makes a big difference. So getting to 50%, you know, we think there's still upside. And then you've got the head and the chin, you've got the wraparound, again, 40% more surface area. We sell surface area.
Yeah.
So, you know, OLED, you know, I think we have pretty good line of sight for the next few years. That's going to be a very good market. And then in the TV side, like we said, for Gen 10.5 versus, yep, Gen 8.5, you're talking about 8 65-inch, mm-hmm, TVs, mm-hmm, versus 3.
Yes.
It's compelling. It is compelling. And so when we look out over the next few years, you talked about the 2-3-year time frame, we have pretty good line of sight. The other thing is there are long lead time on these factories,
yes,
and these products. So, you know, I think we have very high confidence. We talked about, you know, at least 30% growth in revenue in 2018, $3.5 billion in revenue in our 2020 model. Mm-hmm. Very, very high confidence. And that's also just with our existing products. We have new products in the pipeline. We're not going to share more on that here today, but you know, we have a history of bringing very enabling products to market. Thin film encapsulation is one that added significant revenue growth in our display business. We're focused, whether it's in semiconductor or in display, in the biggest economic value for our customers, the biggest technology challenges that they're facing in building new device structures, building new display technologies. And in that 2020 model, we also have very little included in these new markets. So we'll still be in the early innings of significant opportunities for us to expand our served market in display. So again, there, I think next 2 or 3 years, very high visibility.
Got it. And then my final question for you, Dan. A lot of questions from investors. This fiscal year, also embedded in your 2020 financial targets, is an effective tax rate of 10%. How does the passage of the tax reform bill change this, and how aggressively does the team plan to take advantage of repatriation of overseas cash?
Yeah, the great thing about the company is the significant uplift from a margin structure standpoint and the cash flow generation that sits behind it. The business is performing incredibly well, and over that forecast period, the company is going to generate a significant amount of cash. The current situation is the company's got a very low tax rate. We talked to investors about modeling 10%. The downside of that low tax rate has historically been cash trapped overseas and a difficulty to repatriate in a tax-efficient way. The new tax legislation we're incredibly encouraged by. The net impact for the company is to be a modest increase in our tax rate, maybe a couple percent, but global access to cash. Yep. And so as we think about our capital allocation strategy, the great thing about the company with the cash we've generated historically, and it's a track record that spans decades, we've given most of that cash back to shareholders. It's been in the form of share repurchase, given some of the inefficiencies we talked about with our tax structure and moving cash globally. This legislation removes that barrier. So we're spending time thinking about our capital allocation strategy, how we create a better balance between a structured dividend and share repurchase, but still meeting that commitment of returning excess cash to shareholders in a very shareholder-friendly way. And I would say probably on or before our Q2 earnings call in May, we'll come out with guidance on what that new capital allocation strategy will be for the company going forward as a result of this legislation.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Owen. I appreciate the team for coming here to present, and best of luck in 2018.
It's going to be a great year. Thank you.
Thank you.